Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Dan and Dante. Welcome to Rare Bird Radio, where we are normally all dads all the time, but today we're going to be a little bit of moms and dads and grandfathers. We're going to get all villagey as we talk to Lisa Dugan, the founder and CEO of ModernVillage.com. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Dan.
Good to have you on today. So I'm going to, at some point during this next half hour, give everybody a reason why I'm interviewing a mom on a dad's talk show. But before we get into that, I want to talk about something else first, and it's the concept of Parents, Inc. Right? There's this whole industry that's grown up around parents now. Like, you have to read 500 books to understand how to be a parent these days. And, you know, for all of recorded history, nobody needed a class on how to be a parent. Right? You just, you know, you had a kid, and you made him a grilled cheese sandwich, and you punched him in the head when they didn't do their homework, and, you know, that was it. You're a parent. And now, you know, this whole industry has grown up, and you've done the same thing. You've created a business out of being a parent. So I wanted to ask you about the evolution of you being a mom and then taking all your momming skills, your myriad momming skills, and turning it into a business. So why don't you give us a little history of how that all happened?
Oh, okay. My daughter is 10. I have one daughter. And sometimes she feels like three, but, you know, we're going to just go with the one. And I was working full-time. My husband and I were married, and I was working full-time, but made the decision to stop working once I had the baby. So I did that, and before that I worked in newspapers. I worked for the New York Law Journal. So that's who I was. And
so hold on a second.
So you
were working with lawyers, and you wanted to get out of that profession?
I was working with lawyers. No,
and you wanted to leave, huh?
And I wanted to leave. It's a lot of ex-lawyers, a lot of bitter ex-lawyers who work for the New York Law Journal.
That's redundant. Go ahead.
There you go. So knew I could handle, you know, a child after that. And I was home with the baby, with Alice, for a couple of years. And I was losing my mind. I was going crazy. I had worked my whole life. And I don't know what made me think that staying home with a child was going to be a great idea. And there were great parts of it. I'm exaggerating, of course. But I really wanted to talk about parenting, and I really wanted to work again, and I thought a great way to do that would be to start a parenting magazine. So that's what I did in where I live in New Jersey. And I did that for about 3 years. And the goal was to talk to other parents because, as you said, you have to read all these books, and I didn't want to read books. I didn't have time to read that many books. I had a child already in front of me. I needed answers, like, right away.
And look, nobody in Jersey reads books anyway, right? So it's not.
No, exactly. So I needed a TV show or something more immediate. I mean, I had my mom, I had my in-laws, I had my father. I mean, I had my village around me, but the village is never on your block anymore. The village is, you know, a phone call away, a couple of hours away. So I wanted to take the community I lived in and just pick their brains, and that's what I did. So I asked people to write for the magazine, and we talked about everything. We talked about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, everything that I thought was relevant to parenting.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that was wonderful. We did that for 3 years. I did that for 3 years.
Hold on. So when you say you wanted to talk about parenting, what is it you wanted to talk about? What was it that was so mystifying? You're a mom, right? I mean, you can figure out how to put on diaper. What was it that was so confusing or, you know, that you needed to talk to people about?
All right, so that's a good question because it wasn't the parenting part. It wasn't the taking care of the baby because, I mean, it took me a while, but I got that, okay? It was, who am I now? Am I Lucille Ball all of a sudden? And who's my husband? Is he Ricky Ricardo? And I'm so old, no one will get that reference. But
I get it.
Thank you, Dan. It was the fact that everybody I knew was like tearing their hair out and didn't know what they were doing or were doing it, but were questioning what they were doing in terms of the way they were parenting. Do you do positive discipline? Do you say no? Do you smack the kid on the hand? No, that's wrong. Going to damage him forever. No, you should smack the kid. There was so much conflicting information going around that's really what I was trying to sort through.
And I do want to point out, when you say everybody was tearing their hair out, this was all moms, right? It wasn't dads, it was moms.
Right? Right, that's right. It was mommy world, as the librarian told me. So she said, welcome to mommy world, when I would come for story time.
So you're talking to a dad, right? And I hope a couple dads might be listening to this. But, I mean, we dads always think that moms just haven't figured out. They just genetically, like with breasts, also get whatever code they need to deal with kids very easily.
See, I thought that too. I thought that too, but no. That's not true. And that's a fallacy, and that's a problem because a lot of women hit into – well, first the moms hit into that wall. Oh, my God, I don't know what I'm doing. I thought I was going to know what to do. Then I know what I'm doing, but I don't like it. I thought I was going to know how to do it, and I thought I was going to like it because that's really how women are set up in this culture, right? So you guys are told, dads are told, you don't know what you're doing. Forget it. You're good. But we're told, oh, well, it's just going to kick in. As soon as you see that baby, you're going to know exactly what to do, and that is so far from the truth for so many people that I knew. So you're in mommy world, and we're all pretending to be experts, and we're all comparing ourselves to each other, and we're only talking to other women, and we're only talking to moms as if the fathers didn't exist. I really felt that way. And it was weird because I had worked my whole life and I had worked alongside men, and where was everybody?
By not existing, you mean out drinking and hanging out at strip bars, correct?
Going to movies and having fun is what I mean, and drinking hot coffee. Anything I couldn't do, you guys were all doing it.
I know. We're still doing it, by the way. Secretly.
Yes.
Hopefully.
You working people.
That's
right. So I was doing that. So after we did the magazine until 2008, the local economy really fell out here along with the national economy. Publishing a magazine is very expensive, so we stopped at that time. But I still loved parenting, and I still wanted to talk about it, and I had met so many great people and learned so much. And by that time, I had a lot of daddy friends. There were a lot of guys out here doing the stay-at-home dad thing. You just couldn't find them. They were quiet. They were like stealth dads. We might see that guy in the library. They're in camouflage.
Right. I'm actually a CEO. I'm on my lunch break right now, you know, worrying about
right.
the merger or acquisition.
Right. And they slowly came out. And then people, because I was doing parenting, would say, oh, yeah, you know, you should talk to my husband. And, you should talk to so-and-so. And I got to know probably all the stay-at-home dads that were out here in our town. So, and that was great. That was much better. That made me feel better. Like, I wasn't the only one who decided maybe they should stop working for a while and be the one that yells at the children, you know.
Right.
That was a good feeling.
Well, let's go back to the magazine for a second before, because you kind of glossed over it. But what was the magazine? What kind of advice was given? What was the point, you know, what was the point of view coming out of it, if any advice at all?
If any. It was kind of a, you know, I said from the beginning, I don't have any answers. I have questions. So I would throw the theme out there and just – I don't even know how I communicated because it was before Facebook. So I'm not sure how I got the word. I think we put posters up around town and then people just started talking about it. I had questions. So I wanted to talk to people about what I said was, what do you want to talk about in terms of parenting? But I'm proud of myself from the beginning. I had two fathers writing for me full time. I wanted to call the column Pop Culture. And when I did that, a woman contacted me and said, hey, that's the name of my husband's dad group. He started a dad group called Pop Culture, which I didn't know. So that was John Havens. And I reached out to John Havens and I said, well, I'm not going to steal your name, but will you write for me? I'll just call it something else. And so John wrote for me from the beginning. My good friend Greg Valentine was my editor, so he was writing for us from the beginning. So I'm happy to say, the magazine was called The Motherhood, and I wanted to change it to The Parenthood pretty soon after. Which we never got around to. But definitely dads were there from the beginning, and we were inviting parents to talk about what was going on in their life. That's how we did it, Dan.
So you had an advice magazine, which asked a lot of questions.
Yes, I did. Let me think about it. We did the pregnancy stuff. We had a doula mama.
Right.
It was a great column. People loved her. We had a breastfeeding boot camp, how to get it done. We did it that way. We had the dad column. We had a column by a pediatrician called Take Your Medicine, Alice's doctor. He was awesome. He couldn't stand how medically illiterate people were. He was trying to educate the public about vaccines and stuff.
Right. Right.
He was great.
Well, he didn't just leave it to Jenny McCarthy? I mean, Jenny McCarthy?
No, I did not. Although, I went down that path of questioning that. And I'm okay with parents questioning. But you should get your answers from the right sources. That's what I say about that.
You mean Jenny McCarthy is not some type of scientific wonderkin that we should all be
listening
to? I don't understand.
Sorry to tell you that. She used to be funny, and she's still kind of good looking, but she's not a scientist. No.
Yeah, yeah.
But we did, you know, I mean, that's why we had a pediatrician on the staff and on the board, because we didn't want to go into cuckoo town, you know. I just pissed off a whole bunch of parents, and they'll be calling in, but...
No, I've been pissing off parents for 15 years. It hasn't
good.
Stopped me at
okay.
all. Okay,
I just did it. No, it was science, it was evidence-based. But one of the greatest columns that I loved is we had a column called The Fit Parent, and it was about fitness. And it was written by a father who owns a local gym, a personal training studio. And he's an awesome father. He's got his business, and he's able to take care of his kids along with his wife. And he wrote a great column, and it was real common sense. It was like, look, can you do something 10 minutes a day? Can you just get off your ass? It was a great column. That was one of our favorites, The Fit Parent. Right.
Okay, so the motherhood goes down in 2008, but which, by the way, everybody went down to. Don't feel bad. I mean, I've got like 18 diplomas on my wall, and I was digging ditches between 2008 and 12. So
thank you. Thank you
cool.
for saying that.
Yeah, no problem at all. So then, okay, so you took a couple of years off with the rest of the world, and
right.
then you started Modern Village. So what happened that kind of made you pique your interest in business and jump back in again?
So doing a starting a magazine was the first time I had ever owned a business, started a business, and you get to start calling yourself an entrepreneur. You know what that means? It means almost like the kind of person who goes to college and never wants to graduate. If you're an entrepreneur, you can just keep failing.
Well, entrepreneur to me means somebody who can successfully borrow money from banks. I mean,
there you go. There you go. Or other people. Use OPM,
yeah.
other people's money.
Yeah.
But I did want to keep talking about parents and two parents. And so I looked at doing what we were doing in print online, and I enlisted a dad. I thought, let me get a dad for a partner. That makes most sense. I think that's what was missing before. And my friend Steve Berger and I looked at doing the parenthood online. But you know what? There's literally no money in that. Unless if you're Arianna Huffington,
right.
you're going to be a success. But
well,
other than
don't
that.
Don't forget, Arianna Huffington comes from about $8 billion of alimony
right.
payments. That certainly
right.
helped
exactly.
out, too.
Exactly. Well, even the New York Times was doing online local stuff, and they were failing. I figured if the New York Times couldn't do it, I don't know that we can do it.
Right.
But there was always a part of the motherhood that was about community discussion. And I really like parents teaching other parents. Like, look, I went through this. Talk to me. This is somebody you know. We went through the kid with learning differences. We went through the kid with peanut allergies. You know, let's talk, you know, let me tell you what we did, and maybe it'll work for you. So the Modern Village, the idea of the Modern Village is just that, talking to people, and they can be professionals. They can be pediatricians and mental health experts and language therapists, because they know what they're doing. And I want people with, and we'll use people for our classes, who have a good track record, who have a long experience, who have a success. And I think about Dr. Kotler, our pediatrician, who wrote an entire article about the beauty of boredom, like sitting kids in the back of the car, give them a roll of Necco wafers, and tell them to look out the window. That was his prescription for the car ride. Like, stop making them have an activity every minute. And
I mean,
it's just common sense.
But that's what me and my wife have been doing in every car trip since we've been married, so...
It makes
complete sense to me. I think the guy's a goddamn genius.
He is a genius. You know, in 25 years of taking care of kids, I want to talk to that guy. That's the guy
yeah.
I want to talk to, you know, to write a book and to tell me what to do. So the Modern Village, the idea is that we'll make the podcasts, we'll make these classes that are something a parent can download and listen to when it's convenient for them about a variety of topics. So
it's kind of like an online education portal. Essentially.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And we launched the workshops in real life. We did about 6 of them, and they were pretty successful. But I really quickly realized we need to make the product and bring it to the parents. Having the parents come to us is difficult. It's you know that when you want to do something at night during the week, or your wife wants to do something at night during the week, what?
Yeah, I'm usually drunk. So
well,
when I'm incoherent and passed out underneath the table, there's really not much you can do with me. So.
But if she wants to go out, she needs you to wake up for a little while so she can leave
well,
the house.
Well, she's got to find some friends if she wants to go
okay.
out. Cause, come on.
She's got to text somebody else. You're not helping her.
Yeah. We have our own separation of responsibility.
You drink, and she gets other people to take care of you.
Yeah,
no,
that's perfect.
Good.
That works out
that's
for
good.
Me. Just send me
it
the
works.
Bill when it's all done.
It works. Right.
Yeah. But Modern Village does a lot of things. Well, here's the bigger question about Modern Village. So, again, we kind of started with this concept of for the last 5 million years, you know, none of us needed help with being parents. I mean, the monkeys can be parents. I mean, clearly it shouldn't really be that hard. So what specific or unique point of view does Modern Village bring to parents that gives them something that they don't just genetically know about?
Okay, so that's a good question. And I'll just tell you about the classes. So one of the classes that we do, my buddy Alan Hoffman is a technology writer. He wrote a book on iPhone photography. He writes for the Star Ledger. And I go to him and I say, you know, Al, we've got like 5 screens in my house. And how do I keep my kid off or on them? And how long? And so there's modern problems. You know, all the technology and all the access our kids have to the net, and the fact that I'm on the computer all the time. So how am I going to tell her to get off the computer? So we did a class called the 5-screen household, like what's healthy technology consumption. That's a modern problem. I don't know necessarily that I can go to my mom, my aunts, you know, even my older cousins with kids and talk about how are you navigating that. Another class we did was actually a class I really loved. It's called Nannies, Babysitters, and Au Pairs. Oh my. And it's all about the fact that so many people now are running their families with hired help, with people that are there for the, you know, for the good years and the bad years, but they're nannies, they're babysitters, and they're people that you hire, but you have this professional relationship with them, but it's also a really personal relationship. And how do you navigate that? How do you be a good employer, because all of a sudden you're an employer, and how do you have that personal relationship? What are the boundaries? So we did a whole class on that. And,
well, I found that the personal relationship lasts as long as the check doesn't bounce, strangely. I'm much funnier and better looking when the check doesn't bounce. Strange.
No, what I found was those women, and Alice had several women in her life, other mothers in her life, they loved her better than I could in a lot of ways. They were more attentive, you know, so, and they develop bonds with your kids. And you need to know those people, you know. So how do you have a relationship with them? So Modern Village problems. Other Modern Village stuff is there's so many families that are two different faiths, two different cultures. You know, we really, really are becoming the melting pot, you know, of America. And there's some navigating around that. So we do classes about, you know, multiculturalism and what that means. So it's, you're not hearing anything about potty training. You're not hearing anything about sleep habits. We will have those, but I think that market is really covered well. You're talking about Parent Inc. The first 5 years.
Well, when you're talking about poop, I mean, you've got thousands of different avenues to go through. That's for sure.
It's a saturated market. Diapers are a saturated market. How's that?
Exactly. Poop, for some reason, nobody has a problem talking about poop, you know?
No.
I can't get
somebody
to figure out how to, like, you know, get my wife, you know, home before 2 a.m., but poop, no problem. We can talk about that.
No problem.
All day.
Yeah. No problem.
Yeah. So we've now established that you're somewhat of a parenting expert. I mean, if you have a parenting business, a parenting magazine, all that, I'm going to say you're an expert.
But I'm not.
Well,
I'm good at
I'm calling you an expert.
Know.
It's my show. It's my
all
show,
right, go
Lisa.
Ahead.
So for this next
you're
27
call me
minutes,
names.
You're
call
an expert.
Me names.
All right.
Okay.
But here's the real reason why I've got a mom and a dad show, because Lisa, you have a very unique perspective on dads and mom's perception of dads. And why it is that there is kind of this social perception that dads are clueless and incompetent and incapable of being a parent. And I think it's kind of something that's been ingrained since probably time immemorial, you know, when guys are going out hunting and gathering and foraging, I'm sure, you know, the cave moms didn't want to let them in, you know, scared the pterodactyls would come at the same time. But so why don't you tell me about when you first kind of realized that there was this schism between moms and dads and parenting and kind of where you stand on the whole issue.
Well, I mean, it happened in my own house, right? It happened in my family. So Frank and I, my husband, pretty equal partners. We lived in Brooklyn, used to go to brunch all the time. Remember brunch? Brunch was awesome. And go to every movie that ever came out. We saw. You know, I had so much time before I had Alice, I could have cured cancer. Who knew, you know, what I was doing with my time then. But so then we get married, and we have a baby, and we have a house because you have to move to the suburbs. It's like a law. Go have children in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And he goes to work, and I'm staying home. And all of a sudden, like I said, it's like 1950 America all of a sudden, and I'm the screeching housewife, and he's the, you know, beleaguered dummy dad who can't do anything. And we had this one incident, which we call the Hulk incident, where on Friday afternoons was great. Alice was about 2.5, 3 years old. I'm waiting for him to come home on a Friday. I'm about fried. I've had it. Can't wait for him to get home so I can get some relief. And he calls because his office had summer hours. Hey, can I go see a movie? And I'm like, yeah, you know, go see a movie. I get it, you know. Nobody gets a day off. He's a good dad. He comes home every night, and he spent, you know, he takes the baby when he comes home every night. He did bath. He did bedtime.
Well,
and,
Lisa, you're like a saint. I mean, you gave a whole afternoon off to see a movie.
Yeah.
My God, you're like Mother Teresa from Jersey.
I took it back in about 10 minutes because I said yes, and I meant it. And then she was so fussy. It was a bad day. It was a bad day to say yes. And I kept calling his cell phone. And he's already in the theater. He's having a ball. And I'm getting angrier and angrier. I'm just redialing and leaving messages. And the last message I leave him is, like, the baby is screaming in the background. And I say, I hope you enjoyed the movie, asshole. That's the last message he gets from me.
By the way, you realize the Hulk is the name of a strip bar in Staten Island, right? You know that, right?
No, I did not know that. No. And I grew up on Staten Island. Did you do some research? I didn't know that.
I just picked a borough. You're making
that.
You know.
That was pretty good. That was pretty good. So yeah. Poor guy comes home, takes the train, worst train ride in his life, because now I'm not answering his phone calls. And he gets home, and we're talking about it. And I'm like, ooh, when did I become that person? And when did you become this moron? And, you know, I had to concede. I had to say he didn't know how to be with the baby because I never let him be with the baby. You know, I never left the house. I never said, here, take care of your kid. Figure her out. You know, here's the milk. Take it.
It depends on where the milk was. I mean, the refrigerator versus your boobs, you know, might be.
Well, it wasn't that was a problem. I mean, I nursed, and I nursed for a long time. So that there was that issue. There was that reality, that biological reality. But after the first year, she was just topping off, you know, once in a while when she fell down. It wasn't, you know, she was eating by then. He could feed her. He didn't need me, you know. She didn't need me for that. So that was crazy. You know, he could have been doing everything. He could do everything that I did. That's what I had to come to accept. And, I mean, I married him because he was smart and he had good taste, obviously. And
he was competent.
And he was competent. And all of a sudden, how come I thought he was the biggest jerk in the world? And let me tell you something. When you sit around with all the mommies, that's what it became. Like, let's bash our husbands. And, again, it was this, like, throwback. You know, I mean, I can bash my husband, but it was this club that I was being asked to join. You know, men are stupid idiots now. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? I like men.
And what really do you think it is? I mean, look, shit all rolls downhill, right? So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
when you're a stay-at-home parent and you feel like, you know, you have no power and, like, the kid has taken over, you got to find somebody to shit on, right? So
yes.
It's easy to do with your spouse. I mean, is that what happened? Is it society? Is it just the pack mentality? When 10 moms are saying they hate their husband, you feel bad by saying you love yours. What do you think it was?
I think it's part of that. I think you're really right. I think you take all that guilt and anxiety you're feeling, and your partner comes in the door, and you just blast him with it. I think there's that. I think definitely cultural messages. Well, look at it. If you talk about parenting, are you invited to the conversation, Dan? You wrote a book. Is anybody calling
I wrote a book called The Complete Asshole Dad. I'm invited
okay,
to no conversations
still,
ever. Not now, nor for the rest of eternity am I invited to a parenting conversation.
You are a bad example. I'm going to say that. You're a bad example. But fathers are not asked in on that conversation. The messages that we get, you get and I get over and over again is, look, lady, this is your job, and if you can't do it, you're a failure as a woman. So there's a lot, there's that pressure on women to be good at it, love it, you know, and that's just not the reality of it, you know.
Well, you know, another thing you said earlier, which kind of resonates with me too, you said you only knew how to take care of the kids because you were actually doing it.
Yeah.
You know,
there's
not some genetic stew that just makes you know how to, you know, boil the milk right. I mean, go ahead.
My mother hates that answer to that question because my mother will say that's not true. And I definitely, my parents are of the generation of very separate jobs, you know. I mean, that's where we all come from. But the truth of it is we've been working alongside each other for years. We are the post-liberated generation. But I think we have those old scripts in our head about what a man does and what a woman does. And then when it smacks up against the reality, you know, most of the families I know, everybody's pitching in. That's the truth. You're pitching in, I'm pitching in, you know. It's not like the old days. But we do have the old scripts in our head. And when you said in terms of why we become those stereotypes. I think also, for me anyway, because I didn't know what I was doing, I think it's easy for people to retreat into those stereotypes because you don't know what the hell you're doing.
Right.
So it's compelling. Those stereotypes are very compelling. Okay, if I just do that, maybe I'll be okay. Maybe the kid will be okay, and I'll be okay, you know. So I think there's a lot of fear. I think there's a lot of fear.
So is that part of what you teach at Modern Village, the concept that, you know, dads are parents, moms are parents. We all have something to do with our children, things to teach each other, and it's not just necessarily stratified based on your genitalia.
That's beautiful. Can we put that on the website, what you just said? Because that's exactly it. And you know what?
Just send me a check.
Something
about $3,000, I think, is worth.
How old are your kids, Dan? Are you older kids?
I have a 9-year-old son and a 10.5-year-old daughter.
Okay. So don't you know that after they're 5, the problems become a lot – everybody can handle those problems? In other words, like, when from their 1 to 5, it's really all about their physical being and their physical well-being. And then you start to get into the nuanced stuff, like, you know, who are their friends? Who are they talking to? Are they developing into nice people? That's hard stuff. Are you telling me dads can't do that? That's hard work that both parents have to do. You know.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've never seen my children, so I couldn't tell you what's easy or hard. I've heard
you don't
they're
even
good kids. I heard they got good grades, and so I'm happy, and I keep a picture of my wallet just in case someone
I was just going to say, don't you get the little pictures that say if they go missing? You have that picture from the class pictures because we get that.
No, I live in Los Angeles, so we have, you know, thumbprints. We have tooth extractions. I mean, we're terrified around here. I don't let them leave the house unless they're covered by, you know, a whole phalanx of social, you know, Secret Service people.
But it's insulting to a lot of women when I say, you know, your husband can do exactly what you're doing. Because this is also a job that a lot of women left their work to do, and they want it to be special, and they want it to be precious, and they want to be good at it. Jesus, they left their career to do it. Now you're going to tell me my husband can do it? That's insulting to a lot of women, I think, you know.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So there's that reluctance.
What happens when, and I assume you talk to, you know, a lot of women all the time, what happens when those women who are insulted by that statement, when the husband does come home and he does take care of the kids and he does make it through a whole night without flushing the kid down the toilet, is there a new realization that maybe they were wrong, or do they compartmentalize that, or what happens?
I think most of the families we know who even started out with those really hard, rigid roles grew up. They grew up and said, Jesus, every man for himself. Everybody does laundry. This is just too hard for me to divide the labor like this. And I think everybody has a lot of common sense, or most of the families we know, you know, that we stayed friends with anyway,
right.
Get it, that you cannot be rigid like that and run a family. Everybody's got to be able to do a little bit of everything, you know. I think that's what we've seen, you know. And also the economy. We started out by talking about the economy. Jesus, that threw a lot of people out into the streets, you know, a lot of people looking for work. And that also is what I love about parents and what is true. You can come to parenting with any idea you want. And when your kid is in front of you and has a problem, good parents respond to the kids that they have in front of them and respond to the needs of that family. So now I have to go work, I'm going to work. Do you know what I mean? I think that most families do that. I think that whatever ideas they had going in, whatever is really needed in the family is going to be done. And who gives a crap about who does it, male or female or mom or dad?
I completely agree with that. I mean, you know, we talk about heroes and people who do things on a daily basis. I mean, you're a hero to your kid every day. You know, your kid needs help with math, you just become a math teacher. You know, your kid needs help with socializing, you become a psychologist. Yeah. I mean, you just become whatever you have to be because it's your kid. I mean, what else are you going to do?
And you can't afford to send him to another
class, so you better come up with something.
It's true. And you know what? They never remember the things you think they're going to love and or you think are important. You know, they remember the small stuff. They remember you being there for them and talking to them, just like you said, you know.
So they're not going to remember the $10,000 I spent at that second birthday party? Register?
No, it's not. It's going to be a vague memory.
Good. Glad I mortgaged the house for that one.
Glad you sheltered. You did that for the other parents. You know that, right, Dan? You didn't do that for your
Of course. I wanted to show them my pool just so they could, you know.
Exactly.
It would kill them for about a week or two. Anyway, okay, so the real reason anybody's on my show is to make me money, Lisa. So let's talk about Dads Behaving Dadly for a second,
okay.
Which is a book, a compilation of different dad stories that yours truly, of course, is going to be featured in. And I'll probably be the funniest and the best and the greatest because, you know, it's my show. I'm allowed to say that. So you have a very special role with Dads Behaving Dadly. Why don't you tell us what it is?
I'm very, very, very pleased to be invited to write the foreword to the book. Hogan Hilling and Al Watts are the co-authors, and I'm friendly with them through the At Home Dad Network, who I met. I met them a couple of years ago. It sounds stupid, but I think I met them on Twitter. I think that's where I heard about them. Or maybe I met them through the New York City Dads Group. There's a really great, I don't know if you know them, Dan, New York City Dads Group is a local dad organization that was started like 7 years ago. And I knew about them because they're in my local parenting space, and they introduced me to the At Home Dad Network, which was incredible to find out they had when I met them, they were doing their 16th annual conference. Who the frig knew there were that many At Home dads to have 16 years of a conference? And I was in the parenting space. You know,
I didn't even know there were dads 18 years ago. Are you kidding me?
Exactly. The sperm donors.
Right.
So I met Al and Hogan that way. I actually went to the conference in 2010. I was, I think, only the second woman to ever attend because I wanted to talk to dads. I wanted to talk to men. I was so sick of talking to moms about parenting.
Well, you must have been so popular at that conference. I can't imagine.
I was, you know, I wrote about it after I went out of there. It was a great experience. People were so nice to me. They went out of their way, but they didn't could I explain it? I was treated like a peer, and I really was. I mean, we were all stay-at-home parents, you know, and
right.
So that's the way that I was greeted. I wasn't treated special, but I was definitely made to feel welcome, you know. And they were a smelly, angry bunch. They were guys.
Well, you're obviously never seen my office before.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of working on Wall Street. That was my first, you know, my first job as a young kid. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this.
Right. There are certain characteristics of men that seem to travel throughout, you know, the universe, no matter where they end up.
They were talking about their sports teams. They were talking about beer. They were talking about their grills. They were talking about their cars. And they were talking about their kids. That was the only thing I had in common with them. I was like, I
don't know.
It
sounds like the last 30 years of my life. I mean, I don't have to tell you.
There you go.
So what's the basic premise of the foreword? What kind of thoughts do you have contained?
I do tell the Hulk incident. I tell the story of the movie and how awful
right.
I was.
The strip bar.
And what I say is that, you know, women don't need to lead this movement. Women need to make space for their partners and their husbands and their spouses. And I don't want to assume everyone we're talking to is married, heterosexual, you know, there's a lot of people out there parenting. But you got to make room for the male parent to
right.
have a relationship with those kids. This is what I
right.
talk about.
You
have
you also
to
said,
have your own relationship. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you also said something about, like, why are we excluding dads?
Yeah.
What's the point of doing that? How is that helping us as a culture, as parents, as families,
yeah.
right?
Well, you know, if you want that lousy job for the rest of your life of being the only parent who knows the kids' friends and schedules, and then you know what? Be my guest. Be your mom. Be your grandmother and own that job and never have your husband participate. And I don't want that job. I don't want to be the only one. I don't want to be the one that was stuck with the relationships with my kid, you know. I think that it makes your life better. Don't you want to be able to leave the house sometimes? And
look, I want to be able to go. I want to be able to go to the Hulk strip bar whenever I have the opportunity.
Whenever you have it. I want to go there too, Dan. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I know Frank could stay home with Alice when I'm going to the strip clubs too. That's what I'm talking
look,
about.
Look, I'll
That's
go
freedom.
With you. I'll go with him. I'll go by myself. I really, trust me. It really doesn't matter to me.
Well, but that's liberation. So if men are fully participating in raising their kids. You got the backup. You know, they're not babysitting; they're parenting. You know,
right.
And that's important. That's what I talk about in the forward. Get out of the dad's way. Recognize that he's up against a culture that's telling him he's a pussy if he wants to take care of his kids, in the short term and in the long term, and make that space welcoming for him. And get out of the way. Let him have his relationship with his kids. He's going to do it differently. You're not going to like any of it because you don't like anything he does anyway, so who are we kidding?
Wait, do you know my wife? Have you been talking to her? What's going on here?
Just shut up and don't reload the dishwasher. Don't be an idiot. Go out with your girlfriends. Go to a movie, you know. But get out of the way so that he can be with his kids. So.
I love that. And that's a great place to stop. I'm looking at the clock on the wall. We're done. So I have been Dan and Dante. You can find me at danandante.com. You can find my latest book about the joys of parenting called The Complete Asshole Dad at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and wherever fine offensive books are sold. Lisa, why don't you tell people where they can get in touch with you?
Sure. So it's Lisa Duggan. You said Duggan in the beginning, and I didn't want to correct you because it's your show, but it's Lisa Duggan. And Twitter, I'm on Twitter, and I'm Motherhood Mag, short for magazine. And the website is themodernvillage.com. If you want to check out what we're doing and what's coming up, that would be wonderful. And you can reach me through there.
Awesome. Lisa, thank you so much for your time. It was a lot of fun, and I'm sure we'll be talking again.
Thanks.
Divided by two. One.